Warm greetings to Pastor Stephen.
Amen. Thank you. All right. We are going to have communion at the end of this message. And so if you do need to go back to these tables, you want to do it now, it's fine, or later, it's fine too. I want to take a couple of minutes and just get you excited about later this year, because we have been setting up special speakers for the year, and there'll even be some more later on as well. But I want you to notice these dates. I want you to notice the speakers we'll be bringing in and get prepared for that. So coming up soon, May 5th, David Eaton, our retired mayor from Shelbyville, is going to be speaking. Let's give him a big hand. I found that he's not just a good speaker in public settings as a political leader, but he's also has the Word of God in him, and he has a teaching gift and anointing. On Mother's Day, Diana Cahill, she's a former director of a Loving Choice Pregnancy Center here in town, and she's just an excellent leader. I've gotten to know her more this year, and she's going to have a message for women on Mother's Day. In June, on Father's Day, we're going to have David Bosky. He's actually a Israeli-born Jew who's a PhD New Testament student at Asbury Seminary. And so he's going to be speaking on June 15th, Father's Day, and we're going to get that biblical heart of the father out of a Jewish tradition is going to come out strong. I'm so excited about that. And we're also, his parents live in southern Israel. His parents' names are on that list to be praying for them. Sean Ellis will be in town just a few weeks to get his son, Kai, back into UK for a new semester. And then in November is when Sean and Ellis' family will be moving to Kentucky. And so when he's here in August, that will be an important time to hear not only what God has done, but the transition that his family is in for, so we can support them financially in prayer, etc. So then in the next month, we're still in August, Lee Thomas, both morning and evening services, August 25th. Lee Thomas, highly recommended. He's got a book, I meant to bring it with me, about how to pray effectively for the lost. He is a mixture of an evangelist and a intercessor. And he teaches how to pray while you're witnessing to someone who's not saved, or a loved one, or prodigal. It's going to be very a lot of teaching in those morning and night services. So don't miss that, August 25th. And then Don Fento, an old friend of ours out of Nashville, is coming September 22nd, speaking both morning and night. Don Fento is a leader internationally with the understanding of what God's doing in Israel in the end times, and just can't wait for that. I can't believe some of y'all didn't clap for Don Fento. He's not here, but what an honor. He's 93, and just a just respected leader in the body of Christ, and well respected. All right. We did a series before Easter on how the Father's love casts out fear, and I love this motif, this symbolism, scripture of us being children of God, being sons and daughters of the King. I love that. You know, there's other motifs there in the scriptures of who we are. We're the bride of Christ. Why? Because the groom, Jesus, loves us so much. He loves us even in this passionate, pursuing love of coming after us and looking for us. There's just neat examples of illustrations of who we are in Christ and the Word. And one of them is we are warriors for Christ. And that's our title of this series that we're stepping into. Specifically today is we are, God is going to prepare the warrior. And I'm really looking forward to this series. I really am. In fact, God put it in my heart 1st of January. And in January, we touched on it, got into the how God is strong in our lives. And yet I knew God wanted to do more. So this is the timing to do more. I don't know what you guys think about squirrels. Growing up, and we actually lived in the country for a number of years, I just thought they were, you know, just little creatures out there, did some hunting and killed a couple squirrels. My dad grew not to like squirrels for several reasons. One is because he liked bird feeders. And he liked, you know, looking at the birds, and he had the bird book and the pictures, and he knew all the kind of birds. And so he would have to try to do all kinds of things to keep those squirrels out of the bird feeders, and none of them worked, right? You just had to put a lot of bird feed out there, birds would get some up, and squirrels. You could not defeat these little creatures. Well, I just kind of looked at squirrels as just one of those creatures out there, don't pay much attention to them, until we lived in Philadelphia. And we lived in a neighborhood just a little ways out from the Philadelphia city limits. It was the Metro Philly area. It was an old neighborhood, actually, a neighborhood built for war veterans coming home overseas from World War II. The neighborhoods, the houses were built in the 50s. There were small lots. They were less than a third of an acre, but you had fences around each lot, and then the trees, it's an old neighbor, big trees, so you had a sense of privacy because of these big trees, really nice, beautiful spot there with the larger trees. In our backyard, we had one of those kind of scalloping fences around 6 feet high, and we had some pine trees in the back that I had a hammock set up, you know, on this. In the summer, we would put out one of those blue round pools for the kids that had waist high, you know, it had the ring around the top, and the little kids could play there. We had a little badminton set we'd set up sometimes and just squeezed in there. So it was a nice spot. It was enjoyable for the family. And, you know, it was the Riley clan, and boys always brought their friends over and played in the backyard. But I ran into some squirrels that really grabbed my attention. I was in my hammock one day, and there was two squirrels squirming around up in the treetops, you know, chasing each other. And it was really the big boy squirrels, just a hefty-looking squirrel chasing this smaller one up in the trees. And, it's starting to get disrupting. It's so much. I look up, I'm in the hammock, I'm looking back, and I see this glimpse, like a little picture frame. And this big squirrel, he's actually swinging around a branch, and he's holding on here, and he's like this. I mean, he's holding his whole weight with one hand swinging around a branch. I mean, this is intense. What's going on? Then boom, I hear a sound, and boom, that big old bully of a squirrel knocked the other one out of the tree about 15 feet up, landed about 10 feet behind me. I look around, and this squirrel is just like, you know, He's just like in shock or something, trying to figure out, is he alive or dead? What's he up to, you know? And then, you know, it gave it a minute, and it scurried off. Well, I had an encounter with that big bully of a squirrel. It was soon after that. And I'm going down in that, under those pine trees, there was, these were cut up high, so you had plenty of space to walk around and provided nice shade, and there was a weed. It was kind of one of those woody weeds, you know, that was not real big, but it was had a deep root system. And so I get down there to grab this weed like this, and then behind me, about 10 feet, is that squirrel. And he's standing like this, just looking at me. I mean, he's not sitting down scaring me. He's standing up staring at me. And the whole scene scared me. I mean, how often do you have a squirrel come up that close to you, much less he's not running away? I mean, I jumped up and I was like, what? And I instantly realized I have been challenged on who owns this property. And he was saying, what are you doing on my property? And I got mad. I was just like, hey, you get it. I just chased him. I just screamed at him for a little while, you know. Said, the squirrel's not going to take over my yard. I own this backyard. This is my backyard. So this is how I envision. It's really close to this. That it was kind of like that. He was staring at me, but this is a skinny squirrel. The squirrel that I saw, he had big shoulders. He was broad. He was stout. He's more like this guy right here. Yeah, that's what more. He was more in that vein. So I want to tell you that the enemy is in a fight with you. The devil and his demons, they hate you. And they are bold to threaten you and say, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to take your children out. Your church doesn't stand a chance. you are just weak in my sight. I'm coming. And there's this, these bold attacks of the enemy really all over the country and the world right now. Just being bold. What I'm going to tell you, you're a warrior for Christ. And you're in the most powerful army in the earth. It's a spiritual army. And God's going to use you mightily despite what happens in the world and around you. Perhaps whatever's happening at school, it's not too much for the Jesus Christ, the victorious warrior who we celebrate his resurrection and his power is in your veins too. You are here for a reason, to be in the army of God, a soldier for him. And this series that we're going to do is going to strengthen you and release you as a soldier more than ever. Like this squirrel shocked me and I didn't realize I had an enemy in my backyard. I've got a couple more stories to tell about these squirrels I'll do later on in the series. But there is a time that we need to be alert. We need to be in tune. We need to be awake. Because in December 1941, World War II was in motion overseas. The Americans were sending resources to British and others in Europe to support them. But it was on the attack of Pearl Harbor where 2,403 soldiers and some civilians were killed. 19 ships were damaged or destroyed, including 8 battleships. 169 aircraft were destroyed. This only happened in an hour and 15 minutes. That's how sudden and what a surprise attack it was. 353 aircraft from Japan and many ships and submarines did this damage for an hour and 15 minutes. But the Japanese admiral who planned the attack said, "I fear all we have done is to awaken a sleeping giant and fill him with a terrible resolve." And that's what happened. My grandfather, Kiefer, on my mom's side, was a surgeon on a surgeon boat in the Pacific. And he and other men and women willing to protect our nation from these worldwide enemies. And it took a horrible event. Pearl Harbor, 2,403 died that hour and 15 minutes to wake up a sleeping giant. And I want to say to us, listen, American church, don't listen to all the discouragement out there. Don't listen to say, hey, the American church is such a compromising, materialistic. No, we've got the same Holy Spirit in us that empowers us. We have the same Jesus who rose from the grave, makes us conqueror. We have the same Heavenly Father who loves us with perfect love. There is no reason for us to arise as a sleeping giant, the American church, and be more than ready, a ready soldier, effective in the army of God. And I believe by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, you are going to be encouraged like this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. It says, "But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light." See, God is light, and when things are trying to be hidden in our lives or around us, or the enemy is trying to do a sneak attack and stay hidden, it's the Holy Spirit, it's Jesus Christ is called the light of the world, shines bright and exposes those things that are hidden and evil. Whether they're in or around us or from a distance, that's what he does. Verse 14 of Ephesians 5 says, "For this reason it says, awake sleeper and arise from the dead and Christ will shine on you." You and I have a call from heaven to rise with the resurrection power of Jesus, and Christ will shine through you, around you, to others. And if we're not alert like that right now, if we're not awake like that, then let's get awake. Let's not delay. In this series, we're going to, Lord willing, deal with three areas of battle where God needs to awaken us and become us effective victors in Christ. Number one is the battle within. There is, in our sinful nature, that's been kicked out of our heart because Jesus lives there, but still wars in our members. We need to live, take up our cross daily and live a crucified life. We'll get into that. Another one, there's a battle around us in the world. There's just world's pressure and the temptation of the ways of where most people are just going because of the darkness above them. Number three, the battle from the spiritual realm. There is a demonic realm of darkness and angels, and we have the Holy Spirit in us for victory over those battles. So to prepare the warrior, that's our theme for today, God has shown me the first step for us. And it was actually back in mid-January. I sensed, as God was bringing this back repeatedly to me, is that repentance and humility is what God wants to do with his people right now. Now, I want to be honest with you that I received that as this is something for me, this is something beyond me, this is something bigger, this is for our church, this is for the nation. And I knew I needed to start myself. And I'm a little embarrassed to say, I really didn't have any conviction at the time. I didn't have, a sense of wholeness and purity for me to quickly enter into this. It actually took me a number of weeks as God just continued to repeat this word of repentance and holiness to me. And so, again, it took a number of weeks, but I was able to get my journal out and say, okay, here's one, Lord. I repent. And then another one. And it's, I realized it wasn't something quick and easy. It wasn't just some, this is going to be a season of repentance for me. And I believe for us as a church and for the nation. And so when you do that, sometimes it's things that of our attitudes, things of our motivations that we don't even, it's hard to pinpoint our motivations. Our sins of omission, where it's not what we do, it's what we're not doing. Weaknesses that I've just let go because I'm just lazy about it or tired of dealing with it, and I just let them go. It could be, and again, as the Lord's been working with me, things that are lack of in my life, like the lack of Jesus, and he wants to bring you back to the first love. A lack of faith, a lack of obedience, because I'm just coasting with when I'm... You just let the Holy Spirit go, and it could end up being like what's described in the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon is a book about romantic love between a man and a woman. It's and you gain principles of this bridegroom Jesus, how he loves us, the bride, in it. And in the middle of this chapter, there's this verse, and... Song of Solomon 2, verse 15, it says, catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. You know, foxes, they are furry and hairy, so they kind of look like a medium-sized animal, but they only get around 9 pounds. They're a bunch of hair and fur is what they are. But he says, catch the foxes, these little scroungy little 9-pound things, because they can ruin our fruit of all of our labor. If we're not careful, it's the little things that can spoil the vine. How about those squirrels? They're little. I just Googled, you know, what's an average weight of a squirrel? 1 to 1.5 pounds? That's it? Man. I know that guy was about 5 pounds that I was looking at. I mean, he was just huge. But they're a bunch of hair and fur, aren't they? And yet squirrels can do a lot of damage, and even they can come up and threaten you. And hey, he's got some pretty cool armor, but I've got the armor of God on. And we're going to take one of the sessions and break each one of the pieces of the armor down out of the Ephesians. So be aware, as you enter a season of repentance, you're asking God, what are the small things? What are the distractions? What are the things I forgot about and I've let go? What are some things that are even good, but you didn't call me to that because there's things better I'm supposed to be seeking and doing in my life? 2 Timothy chapter 2 has several principles about warriors and competition and so forth. I just want to pick out one right now. It's verse 4 of 2 Timothy 2. It says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So that is the focus necessary, the alertness necessary as a soldier in Christ's army requires an alertness that the entanglements of the details of life, and there's a lot of details in this modern world, right? And we let them entangle us, take our mental focus, our heart focus, our actions away from focusing on Christ. It ends up messing up who we are as a soldier with a purpose, with a mission, with an assignment. And so be open for the Spirit of God to bring one of something like that to your attention. We're going to spend some time looking at Psalm 19. I'm going to actually read all 14 verses, but we're going to stop in a couple places. We're going to, I'm not going to put on the slides any of it until the last three verses. But it's going to be, the last three verses are going to open our eyes more to this pursuit of becoming more like Christ, of being holy, being pleasing to him. But I found that the other verses really apply to us today. And one reason is because of the eclipse. I mean, I see this eclipse that happened, I'm forgetting what day it was now. Was it Monday? And as a clear way, God's getting the attention of our nation. First, us, the church, because we're the ones who know God, to be aware that, hey, you've got an X of those two paths of the eclipse, 7 years apart. 7 is the number of completion in the Bible. And I feel like it was an amazing, even kind way to say, wake up, I am alive. I orchestrated these details to get your attention in 2024. This is awe-inspiring. It's majestic. It's the most unusual, you know, way that the sun and the moon, everything come together just like that. Just listen to these verses, these first six verses, how God speaks through the heavenlies. Verse 1, just listen. It's not going to be on the screen, or open up your own Bibles or apps to Psalm 19, starting at verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and the words to the end of the world, in them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there's nothing hidden from its heat. Oh, I just love that picture of the sun. It's this bridegroom who's so excited about his bride and him being with his bride, and it's just nothing's going to stop a bridegroom getting to his bride. Nothing's going to stop the sun going from one end to the other. There is a strength about the sun, and nothing is hidden from its heat. God speaks through the heavens and the skies. I hope you are in these spring days. It's getting warmer and you're getting outside more. Do spend time looking at those sunrises, sunsets, that blue sky, those clouds, and just sit and watch. But listen with your ears. I had something that happened to me in October on a pastor's retreat that I'm not going to get in the details of it, but this sunrise, God just spoke to me and broke something in my spirit that morning. And again, I'll have to tell that another time when it works, but God will be speaking more than we realize. If we sit, watch, and listen, this is true. His heavens declare his glory, and he's pouring out speech to us. How much more the second eclipse, total eclipse, coming across our country. Verse 7 through 11, I'm going to read these. And this is another way God speaks to us. And it's revealing that he's talking about the Word of God. He uses different words to describe the written Word of God. But God speaks through the heavens, but he speaks even more specifically through his Word. Verse 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Do you love the Word of God, the commandments of the Lord, the statutes, the law of the Lord, the written Word, the judgments? All of that is found in the written Word. Do you love that more than gold? It says, yes, even much fine gold. This is the writer saying, let me tell you, for impact on your life and value now and in eternity, the Word of God is more valuable than gold. Your heart's desire wants to be for the Word of God. And what does he do? It says, by them your servant is warned. You'll be warned. And in keeping them, there is great reward. There is great reward from the fruits of the Word of God being in your mind and heart, and then your actions, and the fruit comes out, is more valuable than being a millionaire with a bunch of gold. So the key here God has taken is his Word. Now let's look at these last few verses. Verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Hey, I'm looking up the skies. I'm listening to God. Hey, I'm looking into the Word. Please, Lord, reveal my blind spots, my faults that I'm not even aware of. It's in the area of motivations. It's in the area of attitude. It's in the area of, so I don't even catch it, or something I do, and only my closest loved ones, they see it. It's not blind to them because they have to put up with it. Cleanse me from my blind spots. And that's why I think a season of repentance is so important, because we're open for God to go deeper, not just the obvious, you know, big ones, you know, punching somebody or, you know, doing this or that. And some, you know, these things God wants to reveal by his Spirit and his Word. Verse 13, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Oh, Father, keep us back from presumptuous sins. Presumption sins, sins that we were not realizing, and it got really bad. It got what, you know, it's not, it wasn't like us. It was uncharacteristic of us, but it happened over time, and then suddenly we find ourselves, well, that wouldn't happen to me. You know, there have been a number in the past year or so, strong spiritual leaders in the body of Christ that have fallen morally. And one is, out of IHOP, Kansas City, Mike Bickle. And I was waiting for the final investigation that they said they were going to do, a third-party investigation, but the parties couldn't agree on the investigation, who's going to do it. And so this study, this investigated this and this, and there's different. And we couldn't get a full picture of going through all the details, and I was really frustrated with that because, for me, Mike Bickle's one of my spiritual heroes. He's a Bible teacher and a charismatic leader that I quickly would go to his teachings often. I've heard him 25 years ago, and out of his preaching, I was on my knees at the altar, you know, in the awe of God. I've, on sabbatical in 2019, went there for several days. And to be a part of that 24/7 prayer room, just an amazing work of God. The Spirit of God was there. Well, there is a handful of leaders that just about, you know, it's been a month or more so, said even though the investigation hadn't come out, we have to say from what we've been able to verify, Mike Bickle's not fit for ministry leadership. And I trust these group of leaders to speak in unity together that they wouldn't have done that unless they've got confirmation. And I just in shock. Lord, if it can happen to Mike Bickle, it can happen to him, whatever. It can happen to me, Lord, have mercy on me. The Bible says, don't wait to get humble. Test that now. We're back from our commercial break. Okay, humility. Don't wait for God to humble you. The scriptures say, humble yourselves before the Lord. See, you choose, say, Lord, reveal my blind spots. Lord, reveal these presumptuous sins. I'm going down a path, a track, and it's affecting now my thoughts. Now it's my attitudes. Now it's getting my actions. Oh, Lord, you hear? Let us humble ourselves. Ask him to search our ways, our heart. Verse 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So the psalmist is saying, I'm going to have to choose what I say, and I'm going to have to choose what I meditate on for my mind and my heart. I'm going to choose in my 24-hour period, the hours that I'm awake, how am I going to get in, read, listen to, what kind of music, what kind of think podcast, you decide what goes in. And if you know you're in a season of repentance, you're going to put more of God in those things. And you're going to speak them out. And then that what's acceptable in your sight, we are saying, yes, Lord, I want this season of repentance and purity. Oh, Lord, strengthen me. You are my redeemer. He starts turning things around for us. Because that's what he can do. I want to just give a quick definition of repentance in a couple of short scriptures, and then we'll start getting ready for communion. Quick definition of repentance is to make a change of mind, attitude, and action by turning away from sin and self and returning to God. And it begins in the mind, because our attitudes and actions won't follow unless we turn directions in our mind. That's where it starts. Sometimes it's just us living for self. There can be such a selfishness about our direction and where we're headed. There's actually, in different ways, and it's summarized in a couple of short scriptures, about the sin of omission. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. As many of you remember the Proverbs that says, knowledge can puff up. When we are pursuing knowledge and more knowledge, it can puff up. It can bring a level of pride that deceives us. Hey, Bible knowledge and knowledge, God is exalted in Scripture, right? I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I'm saying that there is a time when it begins, if we begin just being hearers only and not doers, obedient to the Word, that there's deception working. So Holy Spirit, only you can reveal these things. James 4:17 says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. I'm going to ask the praise team to go ahead and come up here. And if you haven't gotten your communion elements, I encourage you to get that here at the back table. If you're at home, go ahead and get you something, some crackers or bread and something to drink there. But this last scripture really gives the heart and function of what I'd like to see this communion time to be for you and the Lord. It's out of 1 John 1:8-9, and it says this, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. It would have been great, right? If we, when we repented for salvation, we became a child of God, we believed that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the grave for me. I mean, believed it all and started that relationship with Christ. If that was the last time, the last day we sinned, it'd be pretty cool. We were more like Christ that day, and God continues to work by his righteousness in us and his Spirit living in us to make us more like Christ. But we just have to be honest and say, well, no, there are deceptions and sins that I'm still dealing with. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, confession of sins is just being, okay, God, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you. And then if it includes other people, you sinned against someone else, then most of the time, Spirit and God's going to lead you to confess that sin to that person. In this time of communion, we're confessing to God, just being honest. Again, he may reveal something later on, next week or the next week. But he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm going to ask Susie Russell to come up. It's a great day to receive salvation through Jesus Christ. And we're here to pray that prayer with you or a friend. And this is a great day to come back to the Lord if we've been far away for days, weeks, months, whatever it is, years. And this is a day for refreshing, to humble ourselves before God. And we've had this theme now happening through the service that if you're still thinking, oh, God can't do that with me, I want you to be encouraged right now.
Amen. I read not too long ago in one of my devotionals just one line that just really touched my heart, where it said that just one drop of the blood of Jesus was more powerful and mightier than anything that could ever come against us than our worst sin, that all of the bad things that we mess up and that go wrong in our hearts and in our lives, one drop of his blood is more powerful and mightier than any of that. And the sweetest thing about the Lord is he made all of this possible for us to come to him. And someone told me a long time ago, I was in a really, really hard place, and I would be afraid to take communion because I just felt like I just messed up too bad. And no matter how much I asked the Lord to forgive me, I hadn't really forgiven myself. And it was really, really hard for me, and I struggled with it all the time. And then a lady here at church came up to me one day, and she did not know any of that. She didn't know how I felt or what I struggled with. And she said, Jesus wants you to know. He wants you to run to him and not from him. And it stayed with me forever. So in my hardest places, I just run to him because he made it possible for me to come to him through his blood, through what he did.
Thank you, Susie. Yeah, go ahead. Someone want to clap on that? Let's do it. Let's join in. Ahead and hit the lights here as we prepare our hearts, and the Lord is preparing us as his mighty warriors in his army to cleanse us. Cleanse this warrior, Jesus, by your blood. Get the little foxes exposed, Lord, in my mind, a heart and life. It says in Matthew 26 that as the disciples and Jesus were eating, they call this the Last Supper, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the many for the remission of sins. One drop of his blood is enough. That's his new covenant, his new promise to us that can wash our sins, the guilt that we hang on to. He doesn't want us to hang on to it. The shame he paid for on the cross, that don't hang on to it. Be cleansed this morning. During this worship song, I'm going to let you take communion at your own timing and pace. Just pop this cover off where the cracker is and eat that, and then turn around and pop off the other lid and receive. Lord, we thank you that these simple elements on the earth, you said, do this in remembrance of me. So bless them as we want to encounter you and your cleansing by your blood right now.
What the mercy of God can do. If you knew me then, you'd believe me now. You turned my whole life upside down. He took the old and he made it new. That's just what the mercy of God can do. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of his blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of the blood. Thought I deserved, oh, to be 6 feet beneath the things I've done, the things I've said, the choices made that I regret. Oh, I would still be lost. Oh, but for the mercy of God. Stand with me and sing. Now I'm alive to tell the story. How I've overcome. It's His goodness and mercy and the power of His blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done, but it's His goodness and mercy and the power of the blood. The cross meant for me that my Savior carried. Now I've been made free by the mercy of God. It was the grave meant for me where my sin laid buried. Now I stand redeemed by the mercy of God. It was the cross meant for me that my God. Now I'm alive to tell the story how I've overcome. It's His goodness and mercy and the power of His blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done, but the goodness and mercy and the power of the blood. His goodness and mercy and the power of His blood. It's His goodness and mercy and the power of His blood.
Amen. That's right. Amen. We have altar ministry teams here available for prayer. I'll be down here available for prayer. There is a chili supper for those who are 50 and over. I'm well over 50, that's for sure. It's going to be our... let me say a quick blessing over that food so you guys over there don't need to worry about that. Lord Jesus, thank You for fellowship. Thank You for worship and the hymns that have just been anointed for years, Lord God. And we pray You bless the food and each person that prepared this event. Bless them, Lord God, and may this just be an enriching time together. Lord Jesus, there's others online that need prayer. We're available. We have a phone number on the screen for the next 30 minutes on Sunday morning. There's others available for prayer. You might just need to come to the altar. The altar is always open. Feel free to come here, pray with a friend. And so this day, you go as a prepared warrior for Christ, cleansed by His blood, renewed, refreshed before our Lord and Savior, who we're glad to fight with, to fight for. Lord God, thank You. We receive that cleansing. You're faithful and just to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness. That just picks me up, folks. That should encourage you. You go bold and strong.